I'm telling you, when people say things to you, you need to listen, and you don't need to be a talker about it. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. It's interesting because when Solomon is saying this, silver is actually worth more than gold, because silver was being used as the money of the day. Gold was not as much value, and therefore it took a lot of gold to equal what the silver was worth. And so when you go over to see what Solomon made in a salary, you think, okay, 666 talents of gold, but if gold is not worth as much as silver at the time, why are they paying Solomon in gold? Because gold is the thing that nobody could deal with, because everybody was dealing in silver. It's not going to be another 400 years after Solomon's death until gold becomes something where they've got enough of it that they can use it like coinage. It's a very interesting story there. And in fact, in most cases, prior to Solomon and this time going back, it's silver and gold, have I none. You know, it's silver first. And we go on through the script because silver has to do with righteousness. And that's what he's talking about here. What he's saying, look here, the tongue of a righteous person is one of those things that just when he speaks to you, the value of what is coming from that person is just like the purest silver. But the heart of a wicked person is worth very little. In fact, if it's worth anything at all. A heart of a wicked person will spew out of its mouth towards you those things that are worthless. The lips, verse 21, of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of understanding. And how true it is, a righteous person, when he speaks things, speaks words of grace and kindness and tenderness, and love, and people are fed by those things. But the fool will die because the things that he is saying out of his mouth just do not make sense and do not bring any comfort to the people that he's talking to. Righteous words lead to life, and foolish words lead to death. Verse 22 says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." He's not using the conjunction but here. He's using the word the and. And so I checked it out. This is a good translation in the Tanakh, in the Septuagint, in the Arabic. It's a good translation because the opposing thoughts here are blessings and sorrow. It is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich. It is the blessing that the Lord gives us to when we pass it on, it makes rich. But on the opposite end, the Lord also is the same one who brings about sorrows. Sorrows, pain, and heartache. The Lord brings them for a purpose. Now, we don't know it here, but we know it because of the book of James. The James tells us that the Lord allows tribulations and troubles to come our way in order to grow us. Sometimes those tribulations and those trials bring sorrows in our life because we have to back up. And we have to reevaluate where we are. And we have to say, Lord, I've gone too far down this road to turn around. Or we have to say, Lord, help me. I've got to turn around and I'm turning around. And I don't know what's going to happen back there, but I've got to go back there and I've got to take another road, as we've talked about before in the Why on the Roads that's come up in this book of Proverbs. And so Solomon is saying to Rehoboam, listen, you need to understand, Rehoboam, it's not hard to grow in the Lord. It's actually harder to grow in wickedness. And it really is harder to grow in wickedness. Because when you're growing in wickedness, you're suffering lots of pain. Oh yeah, you're getting lots of calluses. Oh yeah, you're being immune to things that are happening in life. Perfect example. I deal as a minister of your church with about 11 deaths a week through Sagemont. If you watch our papers and you watch, if you knew how many of our, you know, we're a 20,000 member church. Rex and now Emery Gadd and Buddy Fortenberry are handling, because it has become such an issue that now Rex and Buddy Fortenberry and Emery Gadd are all working together. Rex is head of it. Because we will have 4 or 5 deaths a day. And in my life now, I have dealt with death at every level. Every level. From the natural deaths to the suicides to the accidental deaths and everything in between. Like paramedics and like firemen, things like that, that come up on the scenes. I've been there too. No death has ever affected me as greatly as the death that occurred whenever I was a scout in my hometown, Waxahachie. And for one of my merit badges, a public service merit badge, I was riding around with the police. And we were called to go to the railroad track that was just by First Baptist Church of Waxahachie that went right there by the church. And there, one of the hobos was drunk and tried to jump a train, and he missed it, and the train ran over him, and he was cut in two. That scene was etched in my mind as if I saw it yesterday. And it just does not go away. It is probably as tender in my heart and my life today as it was then. But you know, because of the age of most of us in here, then there's the next death that I dealt with, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. And with every one of those comes a little more callous. It doesn't callous over that first one, because that one still bothers me. But it does callous over the rest of them, of the ones that come and go along. Even to the one where they came down, where a relative of mine had hung himself and committed suicide. I'm the one that got there with the security to begin with. I'm the one that cut him down, all that. That was not as hard as that very first one at the age of 16. That sorrow came from the Lord upon me on purpose, because it's the beginning of the preparation of walking through the valley of the shadow of death in what God was calling me to do in the rest of my life with you. With you. The Lord brings these things. It's the Lord who does it. He brings on the gladness, the blessing, and He also brings on the sorrow. Solomon, I don't think, really understood it, but he knew what he had seen, and he said it. Verse 23 says, doing wicked is like sport to a fool. Stop. I want you to understand. The word sport probably should be translated laughter. Doing wickedness is like laughter to the fool. And so is wisdom to the man of understanding. Wisdom to a man of understanding is like laughter also. If you are a wise person and you have been down the road and you have categorized all the things that have happened in your life, and it comes up to a Y in the road where you have to choose to go this way or to choose to go this way, making the right choice is as easy as laughing. That's how easy it is. But the same is true of the wicked person. They're going to choose the wickedness. That's how easy it is for them. They're going to choose the side that's wicked because that's the bent of which they have to go that way. Verse 24, what the wicked fears will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. So the righteous person can say, Lord, if it be your will, it's what I want for this to happen, it's going to be granted, if it be your will. But for the wicked person fears what's going to come upon him. Really, Solomon is talking about eternal life here. Eternal life, the wicked can do what they want to, but they have no idea what is going to happen in the next life. They have no idea what is going to happen. They have no hope in the future. They have no understanding of what's coming. They're living today as if there is nothing after this life. But the wise person knows better. And the wise person knows that they will be granted eternal life. Verse 25. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Okay. Does that mean that the whirlwind doesn't pass with the righteous on the righteous? No. The rain is going to fall on the good and the bad. The Lord causes the whirlwinds to come in our life, not only for those of us who are wicked, but those of us who are righteous also. It's just the fact that the righteous people have an eternal foundation that will not be moved and cannot be shaken. But the wicked person does not have that foundation in their life. For the wise person, absolutely nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, can rip them out and away from the righteousness of God that is the everlasting foundation for them. But the foolish and the wicked person, the ungodly person, has nothing to hold on to. They are like a ship in the sea with a sail that's up and no rudder. Do you know what happens in that case? You can go sideways, you can go backwards, and there's a good chance that the boat's going to end up sideways and turned upside down because the rudder is not keeping it to where the long part of the ship is headed with the wind. It can be turned over. 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. I don't know how much Solomon knew about this in those days. I don't know how much he knew about the parts of the body in those days. But he knows what vinegar does, and he knows what smoke does. Vinegar is a very slow and deadly thing for one part of the body, the teeth. Excessive use of vinegar will dissolve away the enamel on your teeth. And when the enamel on your teeth is gone, decay begins to come in. And when decay begins to come in, bacteria begins to grow. And the mouth becomes a very dirty place, a deadly place. 20 years ago in my ministry, there was a man who came in who had very poor, black, decayed teeth. And one began to hurt him very seriously, and he made an appointment with the doctor, and the doctor wouldn't touch him until he took a round of antibiotics. He came to my office to talk about something else, and he told me that he was going to have the tooth pulled the next day. And I said, just opening my big mouth and getting into his business, like I tend to do if you're in my office, that is an open opportunity for me to ask questions. I said, you know, as bad as your teeth are you taking some antibiotics? And he said, well, 10 days ago he gave me the prescription, but I decided I didn't need it. I'm okay. You know, I was a Marine, and I'm all right, and I'm healthy, and God's in control of my life, and He's guided my ship, and I'm His minister, and I'm out there healing people and seeing people raised from the dead and all this. And I said, okay. So he goes the next morning at 10 o'clock and has the tooth pulled, and at 3 o'clock we receive news that he is in the emergency room, and at 1 o'clock that night he has died of the spread of the disease from taking that tooth out. It's dangerous business. all because the enamel and everything had been broken down. It's the slow damage that happens with vinegar. Now, vinegar is not bad if you use it right, okay? But vinegar can be damaging. Smoke is not bad either if you want to cook some food and eat it, okay? But if you get out around the smoke, we all know what happens with smoke. I mean, you can't stand in front of a fire, walk into the smoke. I mean, you're there 2 seconds, and all of a sudden, your eyes are just burning. It's attacked the little tender capillaries around your eyes. And you look like you just lost your last friend, and you're crying, and all that type of stuff. As you're trying, you know, the only thing worse is probably onions when you're cutting them and that type of stuff. But Solomon knows about one is slow and one is quick. Slow and quick. But then he counters it by saying, so is the lazy one who sends him. So is the lazy one who sends him. What in the world is he talking about? What happens to be that when we go look at this, we understand that what he's basically talking about is a person who works for another person. He's saying, Rehoboam, when you work for somebody, or you have people that work for you, and they are constantly slowly gnawing at and causing the strength of your organization to dissolve away to where it becomes to the point where it could be something could get in and hurt the organization. You need to watch out for those type of people. And on top of that, you have those that are just flat an irritation to the organization. An irritation. And in any case, both of these are sluggards. They are the people who are destroying your business. Repeatedly through the 22 years in Helping Hands, I have had people come, business owners call me and say, I've got this person. I cannot be sure that they are doing this, but word is coming back to me from the grapevine that they are undermining what is going on in my business, in my office. Brother Jim, what should I do about this? And I said, it's a no-brainer. Thank you. Fire him is correct. Well, what about the unemployment insurance? I said, listen, which would you rather pay? The unemployment insurance tax or have the income coming in from customers that are running, they're running away? Well, I'd rather have the income from the customers. Then that makes that just a small amount of money. I said, well, do it. What about the one who's running off customers standing at your register? We've got them all over. I'll tell you one, it's sad. It happened Friday to me. I pick up the phone and I call one of our Southern Baptist Convention organizations. I've got a question. I want to send them something and I want to present it to them. And they get me to the department and they said, well, right now, I said, I want to send it. They said, sir, I'm just so sorry. But if you just send it to me, it's just going to sit in a pile and nobody's going to look at it. I said, okay. I can't send it to anybody. I think this is great. I think it's wonderful. I'd like to see y'all use it. No, sir, we're not listening to anybody at this point in time. And I went, I'm a Southern Baptist minister, been one for 41 years. I'm at one of the largest Southern Baptist churches in the convention. I have been on this staff for 24 years. And my own denominational organization will not even look at something that I want to send to them as a suggestion, as a use to do something. No, sir, we won't. And she hung up on me. Now, according to the scriptures I've just gone through, the wise person will hold his anger until the appropriate time. The wise person will hold his tongue until the appropriate time. And I will hold it, and somewhere down the line, I will bring it back up, but in a godly, righteous way. The hope of the righteous, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, verse 27. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. You know what that's talking about. We're not talking about physical life. We're talking about eternal life. At some point in this life that we live in, we're going to make a change. For those of us who are righteous, those of us who worship the Lord, the Lord's going to say, you know, it's time for you to seal this deal and come on and be with me for eternity. Physical life will end, eternal life will begin. But for others, for the wicked, physical life ends and eternal punishment begins. Which would you like to choose? Let me tell you something. Eternity is too long to be on the wrong side of that coin. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. Hope. That word hope means a sure deal. I know we have a different definition for the word hope, but that word hope means a sure deal. It is going to happen. But for the wicked who expects to have something good happen to them, when they pass from this life to the next, goodness, their expectation is going to be punishment. Verse 29, the way of the Lord is a stronghold. The word stronghold means strength. It doesn't mean fortress like used other places. This one means strength. The way of the Lord is a strength to the upright. Upright word means righteous. The way of the Lord is a strength to the upright, but the ruin to the workers of iniquity. Hear this. Here is talk about things the Lord does. He will strengthen those of us who fear Him, who worship Him, but He will ruin those who do not. Pretty easy. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Eternity. The righteous will be there. Our foundation is secure. It is established. We know where we're going. We're going to get there, and we're going to know when we get there. But for the wicked, foolish person who never puts their trust in the Lord, they will not dwell in that eternity with us. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. Only in eternity will the mouth of the righteous flow with wisdom. You know what we're going to say. You've heard it many, many times. You just never thought of it. We're going to join the chorus saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Blessed art thou from the foundations of the world. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain and who is, who was, and who is to come. And the other words, hallelujah, 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 those are going to flow from our lips. But for the perverted tongue, no. It will be cut away, cut out, as they spend time in their own perversion that leads them to eternal punishment. And finally, verse 32 says, the lips of the righteous bring forth. By the way, that word bring forth means to bear fruit. The lips of the righteous bear fruit that is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted? Solomon is saying the same thing many times over and over in a different way so you get the message. If you have righteous lips, kindness, thoughtfulness in the way that you handle what you handle in dealing with somebody in with the love of the Lord, it will truly, truly be acceptable. But if your mouth is wicked and the things you say are perverted, perverted things only get perversion. Righteous things, righteous words bring about righteousness. Perverted words bring about perversion. It's just the way it is. Well, Solomon's not through. We have 18 more chapters of these things. And we're going to move much quicker next week. I've already have next week's lesson finished. And the commentary is much shorter next week because I think you get the flow of what Solomon is trying and how he's trying to say things to us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your word and to draw closer to you. May we be godly and not ungodly. May we be righteous and not foolish. May we be pure and not wicked. In your name, amen and amen.